by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Oh, he's a wonder in my heart.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Father, our God, in the blessed and wonderful name of Jesus, the Christ, your Son, we thank you now as we turn our attention to your word. Let the Holy Spirit, his perfect teaching, preaching ministry, be evident in the text and the hearer's heart today. And so, God, we release ourselves over to his care. Let him illuminate the text in our hearts, and more especially our understanding, that we might practice the principles for profit and give you the praise. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And all who love the Lord said, amen. Come on, give him another hand of praise. I want you to turn your Bibles to Psalm number 51. And then stand on your feet in honor of the word. Psalm number 51, beginning at verse 1. And it reads as follows. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, pardon the mess.
Come on, preacher.
Spiritual renovation in progress. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, pardon the mess. Spiritual renovation in progress. Now give the Lord some praise. If you get nothing else out of what I'm saying this morning, I need you to focus in and understand David's plea here and all that he himself has identified as it relates to his sin and his shortcomings and all of the things that he takes responsibility for having done. One of the things that blesses me about this word, first of all, is that this is not a sinner talking, this is a saint. This is not someone who has no relationship with God. As a matter of fact, he's known as a man after God's own heart. God loves this man. This man loves God. And yet in the midst of this wonderful relationship, he makes some decisions that are opposite diametrically to the will and the word and the way of God. He makes some choices that have now got him in a quandary of doubt, disbelief, even in himself, who he is and all of the things that he represents. And he's gone through a period of suffering and separation from God that he needed not go through, but because of the choices and decisions he made, he recognizes that when we sin, when we walk out of the will of God, when we make choices on our own, we must then deal with the consequences. You can't have it your way and expect things to come out God's way. You've got to do it God's way in order for things to come out his way. And one of the things that I am just blessed about, according to the text, is that if you'll note, David does not try to throw the responsibility of the mishaps and the mess-ups on anybody else. And too many saints are always pointing the finger at other folk when they don't want to recognize nor acknowledge the fact that I made a mistake. I made a bad choice. I've made bad decisions, and what I am living is the proof of them. The old folk had a way of saying it, say, if you make your bed hard, you'll have to lay in it. And so many of us don't understand that the problems we're going through ain't necessarily because the devil is messing with us. Brothers, many of the problems that we are encountering today is because of choices we made yesterday. And David gives us a helpful, holy hint as to how to deal with a saint who is messed up. But recognizes that he doesn't have to stay in this messed up state. You know, it's one thing to mess up. It's another thing to stay messed up. And the Bible says all have sinned. So for those who feel holier than thou right now, you need to hear this word today. Listen at what David does, because I want to bring some things to your understanding to illuminate the text. David starts off by saying, have mercy. Listen now, upon me. Because I need to say to you, my brothers and sisters, when you go to God, you need to learn how to be personal and responsible and accountable for your own soul. Amen. Do not put the charge of asking God's mercy in the hands of somebody else. Amen. If you've sinned, if you've fallen short, if you've messed up, you need to go to God and ask God for your... Have mercy. Listen to what he says now. Upon who?
Me.
Me.
Now, the sin that David refers to, of course, is, of course, the sin that we have shared with you on many occasions. It is the sin of having taken another man's wife, having slept with her, having committed adultery, and then ultimately committing murder. Now, David was not in this sin by himself, but he could not take responsibility for anybody else. He had to take responsibility for himself. Now, I want you to know it's hard for you to move beyond your point of mess up if you can't even admit you've messed up. Because I got news for you. Until you see you like you are, the next situation you get in, you're going to mess up. And the one after that, you're going to mess up, because there's always going to be somebody else who's going to do something that's not going to please you, or something that's going to happen where you can point the finger and point the blame. But the problem must begin with identifying you. So he says, oh God, according to thy loving kindness. Now, he's asking for mercy, but he wants it based upon God's loving kindness. Mm-hmm. He says, unto the multitude, listen now, of thy tender mercies means his choices mercies. Now, David knows what he's asking for, because he's been in relationship with God. He knows God, and he knows what God has to offer. And for those who are closest to him, God has certain things reserved for them. So David is calling upon God's choices and most best mercies, the tender and loving kindnesses that comes from knowing God, and more especially God knowing you. So he says, listen at this now, blot out my transgressions. Now, this is so important, because he says here, he wants God to blot out. And blot out comes from the word, or the term, that means to erase from record, so that there is no account of what I've done. Now, listen at this. He wants God to do something that God has already agreed to do, but he is simply following protocol. He is aligning himself up with the principle, and he's practicing them, and he's expecting the profit. Why? Because God has made clear, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So he is making clear that he understands that God takes our sins and he puts them in the bag, and he sews the bag up, and he casts it in the sea of forgetfulness. He understands God's heart. God can't deal with sin. So as long as sin is a part of my life, it separates me from God. So if I want to have a closer fellowship with God, I've got to ask God to take the sin out of my life so he can get closer to me and I might get closer to him. So listen to what he's saying. Blot out my transgression. Lord, I don't even want that, when you read the record, to be a record of this mess up in my life. Now listen to what he goes on to say. Wash me. He says something else here. He says, from mine iniquity. And then look at what else he says. And cleanse me from my sin. Now, again, notice here how thorough, as he begins this process, and this certainly shows the depth of grief, how much it has pained him to be separated from God, how much it has pained him that he has gone through and disappointed God and thus been separated from God. He deals in these five verses with his sin, with his trespasses, with his iniquities, because he has recognized that it is not worth it to be out of the will of God. Listen to what he says. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, which means vainness, foolishness, and or nothingness. And cleanse me from my, listen at this now, it is singular, it is not plural. Cleanse me from my sin. This particular sin he has reference to, even though the sin was committed time ago, it still had lingering and continual consequences connected with it. How many of you have done stuff in the past you still paying for? Amen. How many of you done stuff in the past folks still ain't let you forget about? All right, this is what David is saying. He says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, from that part that I am under a warrant to pay for. If you remove it from me, then I don't have to deal with it in my conscious state, because if you have taken it away from me, then it is no longer my sin. It has been eradicated. Listen to what he says. For I acknowledge. Now, here's where his confession comes in. My transgressions. My When was the last time you went to God and said, God, listen, I've just been in this terrible situation, but you know, God, and it's not about what somebody's done to me or it's not what I've done to somebody as far as that's concerned. I just want to deal with you on my part. I just want you to deal with my heart, God. Listen to what, for I acknowledge my transgression, listen to what he says, and my sin is ever before me. Now, until God removes it from you, until he takes it away from you, until he expunges it from your record, until he erases it out of his memory, your sin, the consciousness of it, will continuously bother you. You can be in the midst of a good time, and that sin will pop up and say, hey, remember me? You can be right in the midst of a good old worship, say, ooh, glory, and that sinner come tap you on the back. Hey, put them hands down, they ain't holy. I wish I had a witness here. You there doing the holy dance, and you get, and then the devil said, now, you wasn't doing that last night on the dance floor. Now, come on here, let's be real here. You know, and start convicting, you look like somebody that you thought you saw last night is there watching you, and they ain't dancing. They stand up, they're like, ain't no spirit on me, and I know ain't no spirit on you. I wish I had a witness there. So listen to what he says. For I acknowledge, and that, may I tell you, when you acknowledge your sin, it ain't nothing anybody else can say about you. When you admit I messed up, somebody say, you messed up, yeah, you just not hearing about it. I wish I had a witness. Because you ain't trying to hide it. You ain't trying to stay in that. You're trying to get to where God wants you to be. So you got to confess it, acknowledge it, get it out of you. What you're ashamed of is you let the devil make a fool of you, and you come to yourself, and like the prodigal son, the foolish thing would have been to stay in that because you didn't want nobody to know you were in that and suffer your life. But when you come to yourself and look around at where the devil has demoted you to and remember what you left and what God had for you, you say, how many hired servants do my father have who's got food and enough to spare? I think I'd get up out of this mess. I wish I had a witness here. So listen at him. He says, I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Listen to what he says now. Against thee only have I sinned. Because this is a spiritual thing. I might have offended someone in the flesh. I might have hurt someone. I might have disappointed someone. But I ain't sinned against nobody but God. So you need to understand that your sin issue is a God issue. Now you might have to deal with somebody's emotions. You might have to deal with the flesh of somebody. But when you're talking about sin, that's a God issue.
Yes, sir.
And he says, so when I really look at this thing and I have uncovered this thing, it's really a sin issue and it's really about you and me. And I have sinned against thee, and thee only have I sinned. Listen to what he says. And done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Listen to what he says. Behold, he said, God, listen, before you do what you got to do, let me just put you in remembrance of who I really am, where I come from. I ain't always been all I ought to be, and I ain't yet all I'm going to be. So in this state, I just want you to remember before you say what you're going to say and do what you're going to do. Look at what he says in verse 5. I was shapen in iniquity. I was shapen. I was molded in vainness, foolishness, and nothingness. My environment dictated much of my conduct. I came into this world. Look at what he says. And in sin did my mother conceive me. Amen. In these first 5 verses, David is dealing with his sin issue. Yeah. And is giving an account of his sin issue, of his shortcomings, of his mistakes, of his bad decisions, of all of these things. He's putting them up front first. Yeah. Why? Because what he knows is the state that I am in, I don't want to stay there. Amen. And I can't live with it. I can't deal with it. I don't want it anymore. And so he confesses this before God. Look at what he says in verse 6. Behold, thou desirest truth, listen now, in the inward parts. If you can't be real underneath the skin, that there is a saying that the world has that says, to thine self be true. Yeah. It's important for you to understand that if you can't be true with you, who can you be true with? And if underneath the skin all is not right with you, it will not be above the skin right with you. The inward parts are the secret parts, the hidden parts, the parts removed from public scrutiny. It is that part where it is most intimate and real and most revealing about you. And so in the inward parts, God desireth truth. As a saying that says, you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all of the people all of the time. And the truth of the matter is, you can't fool God none of the time. And next to God, it's even hard to fool yourself. But some of us have become such great liars and deceivers of ourselves that we lie so good that we've convinced ourselves the lie is real to us. Can I tell you, everybody that says the Lord said, can I tell you, everybody that said, I got a word from the Lord, ain't necessarily got a word from your God, your Lord. And so it's the inward parts that you've got to understand that God deals with. It's not the flesh that he's most concerned with. It is the inward parts that he desires. It is the realness of the temple that he dwells in. And so it's important to get the inward parts straight. Listen, it says, in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. If I can get wisdom out of the learning experience, and how many of you know that it is true that experience is the best teacher? Amen. For the world. Yes. But the word is the best teacher. Amen. For the saint. Yes. See, I don't have to go through some mess to learn some stuff if I just take heed to what the word say. I don't have to do and go through and fall and hurt and suffer and all of that just to get some experience, when if I would trust God and his word and lean not unto mine own understanding and in all my ways acknowledge him, the word says he'll direct my path. I ain't got to go trying to figure out if this is the right path or if that's the right path. If I will in my inward parts pray, keep still, stand still, know that he is God and truly listen to him and not let the enemy persuade me externally, then I will find out according to the word that God will cause me to walk in wisdom. He'll make me to know wisdom because he will reveal his word. When he reveals his word, that will reveal his will. When he reveals his will, that will reveal his way. Listen to me. Bible says, verse 7, now he goes back, purge me. Now, he has gone from the washing and the external realities to the internal realities. You don't purge something unless you go inside of it and clean it out from the inside. Now, he's talking about a thorough cleansing now, because how many of you know if you just put a Band-Aid on the problem, that the Band-Aid many times is not the cure to the problem? If you've got cancer, putting Band-Aid on top of the skin is not going to cure it, even if you put some medicinal medicines upon that and use it for that. That's not going to cure it if the problem is underneath the skin. You've got to go in there and get it out of there. He's saying, God, I don't want you just to clean the outside of me. I want you to go underneath my skin and purge me with hyssop. He's making clear, God, I want every essence and every trace of the sinful nature in me out of me. Listen at him here. He says, and I shall be clean. Now he says, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Now listen at this, because I want you to see there is a difference here when he's talking about all of these washings and cleansings, and actually it is going from one level to the next level. He's starting off in verse 2 by talking about wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. And then as he moves on and he tells God about his situation, he then goes to where the situation started at. Because how many of you know, before it ever gets to the flesh, before it ever gets externalized, it is internalized. Before lust can become pleasure, it is first in the mind, and you then foster that, you nurture that, and then it materializes. The thought must begin before the action continues. And so he's going there in verse 7 with saying, purge me with hyssop again, and I shall be clean if you do it, because you're the only one who can go down underneath the skin and cleanse me right where the dirt of my depth is, and the depth of my dirt is. Listen to what he says. He says, and wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Isn't it funny that how the way you feel on the inside shows up on the outside? Amen. When your heart is clean, you don't need to lose all that Maybelline and Fashion Fair. And those are enhancements, but there's going to be a godly glow that'll show through every makeup you put on, because when it's right and clean underneath the skin, there is a godly glow. The manufacturers of all of these medications and fashion fairs and all that stuff can never ever reach, because it is a divine thing that God does, and man cannot make that. Listen to what he says. He says, verse 8, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Now, when he's talking about the bones that God has broken, he's talking about his stable platform on which he stands. All of the things, again, that supported him underneath the skin, all that he stood for, all that he represented, all of that came crumbling down, because God cannot uphold you when you have unconfessed sin in your life. Amen. So he felt God broke down every strong place that he was standing upon, that he was built upon, because God cannot allow sin to enter the camp and you still be in right relationship with him. So his bones represented his strength, and it represented all of the things that God was supporting underneath the skin. Look at what he says. I just want to go back to the top of verse 8 again. He says, make me to hear joy and gladness. Because can I tell you, when sin enters the picture, or you are out of God's will, that joy and gladness escape you. You can turn on comedy and hear jokes and not even laugh. I mean, you can go through the facade of being happy and going through the motion of doing this and pretending, but joy and gladness are far away from you. Because joy and gladness are a byproduct of being in right relationship and fellowship with God. When you are right with God, he said he'll make even your enemies to be at peace with you. When you are right with God in the midst of your trial, he'll give you joy and give you gladness, because all of those things are, again, a byproduct of him being with you. Now, listen to what he goes on to say. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out, here's that word again, all mine iniquities. He moves from a specific area of sin to the total area and domain of sin. He said, look, God, while you're cleaning me, while you're purging me, while you're getting me together, if you see anything else there that shouldn't be, straighten all that out and take all of that out of me while you're in the process of renovating me. Listen to what he goes on to say. He says, and this is important, and this is where I've been trying to get to all of this while, create in me a clean heart. Now listen at this now. How important is this request that David makes here? Create. Now the word create is an interesting word, and it comes from a Hebrew word which means to pull down, to destroy, or simply do whatever you need to do to get it right. Now here's what David is saying. When he said create in me a clean heart, he was saying, I want to take the level of my heart being in right relationship to where you are. Because see, I can be wise in my own eyes, but if my wisdom doesn't line up with God's wisdom, if what I'm doing doesn't line up with what God says do, then while I might accept it as being good, because many of us judge ourselves based on other folks' standards. And because we are not doing what somebody else is doing, we don't feel that we are as bad as them or have as evil of a heart as them or has done as wrong as them, when God has given us exacting standards by which we ought to operate on. And so when my standards, and this is all David was saying, is, Lord, make my heart rise to the level where it pleases you.
Amen.
I want a pure heart, so much so that I will have fellowship with you and you with me. Now listen at this, because this is so important. The Bible says only the pure in heart shall see God.